Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Douglas Duncan joins us. He is with Fannie Mae, but not trying to figure out whether you need a mortgage or not. He is their chief economist. Doug, just looking at the surface level while I print out the more voluminous data, a productivity number of negative 2% gets my attention. That's a sporting number, isn't it?
It is, it kind of goes against the current bullishness about growth that's been underway, and it's maybe a second check along with the fourth quarter GDP numbers that suggest growth is going to be tepid, and that's our forecast.
What is your forecast? Now, we saw that negative statistic for fourth quarter. Do you assume it gets revised up?
Probably a little bit, but it's an indicator of a couple of temporary things, cut back in some government expenditures and some inventory issues. Our first quarter growth number is about 1.5%, and for the full year of 2013, 2% growth.
I mean, I always go to unit labor costs because I think that's so much of what our listeners care about. First of all, define unit labor costs. And we see a big pop, but also a negative revision. And the annual statistic was pretty moldy as well. That really is about our paychecks, isn't it?
It is. That's the simplest way for people to understand it is what does it cost a company to put a person to work? It gets to whether or not companies are going to be hiring, and when they hire, whether or not compensation is going to push forward economic activities. Does it give confidence to consumers that their incomes are going to grow so consumption grows?
I mean, I'm looking here at the annual. I'll print this out for you, Doug. Is they put out all sorts of interesting surveys when they do this quarterly productivity data. Futures are exactly flat. Dow futures are -4. 10-year yields barely moved. And you look at the productivity, and of course, Chairman Greenspan years ago would make a big deal about annual productivity, annual unit labor costs. And yeah, 2010, there was a bounce back, 2009 in productivity. It's just been sort of soggy. This is not Greenspanian productivity, is it?
Absolutely not. He was ahead of most of the rest of the profession in recognizing the gains in productivity back in the late 80s and through the 90s. And it's a really important statistic because it is the thing that drives real income growth. As our workers are more productive, their real incomes grow to compensate them for that additional productivity. So flat or negative numbers in this are a bad sign for the labor sector.
But when you look at it, your cautious call on economic growth, when you dovetail it into productivity, I think what you're telling me is we're not going to see rising incomes adjusted for inflation.
That's correct. We think they're going to be pretty flat.
You want to give me a statistic here to work with?
Probably 1% maybe. Growth
real.
In real terms over the course
of the year. Okay, let's fold this into the world of Fannie Mae. What's it mean for housing?
Well, it means what we've said is housing is heading in the right direction. It has firmed, but it's not robust. What we're doing is sort of a catch-up on demographics. During the crisis, we probably had a deficit of maybe 2 million household formations. Mm-hmm. Adding 150,000 private sector jobs per month still leaves us several million short of where we should be in terms of employment, but it is going to add to unfold some of those households.
And I know, and I don't mean to make fun of the idea that you're with Fannie Mae, but of course you have different responsibilities there. Michael McKee and I sat here Tuesday last in one Carl Case told us on air he's having a difficult time doing some kind of mortgage transaction. Chairman Bernanke, in his speech at the Economic Club of New York three times, early in the speech, mentioned credit. Can I get a home mortgage now?
You can. It will be easier if you have pristine credit. One of the after effects
Which,
of
what percentage of America has what you just described? I'm thinking 7%, I'm guessing.
It's probably a little more than that. Probably 20% thereabouts, but lots of them don't need a mortgage, right? I mean, that's part of the reason they have pristine credit. They've managed their credit very well, and a lot of them are paid off.
Well, nicely explained. Doug Duncan, this is sort of a ballet. Here's the Bloomberg headline. Evans doesn't see 6.5% unemployment until about mid-2015. Is that, I mean, I know he's not speaking for the Fed, Is that in the mandate of our Federal Reserve System?
Our theme for this year is transition to normal, and nothing about the Federal Reserve's balance sheet is normal. And so markets are extraordinarily sensitive to just commentary because of that, as opposed to a more normal circumstance when their balance sheet is not the central figure, for example, of the housing market.
One interesting thing, though, is that Charlie Evans, and this has moved U.S. markets a little bit, suggesting that the Fed could stop its QE bond buying program, not the low rates, but the bond buying program, before unemployment gets to 7%. The key there is he doesn't think that'll happen to the end of 2014.
But to back up here.
But it's a little more hawkish from a real dove.
A super dove, I would put them as Rosengren, Evans.
I'd flip those two, baby.
Okay. No, I defer to you on this, Michael. You're much better on this than I am. Is Cottrell Lakota of Minneapolis a super dove? I'd say no.
Not a super dove, but he's a dove. I mean,
he's not a super dove. He's
Yellen first. Yeah, and then
number one.
Geez. Yellen first, Evans, Rosengren. Okay. Not much daylight between them. Cottrell Lakota is in there. It's a little bit harder to get a read on the other members of the board because they don't speak enough.
Doug, yesterday we celebrated Alan Meltzer's 85th birthday, and you can hear that interview, folks, at Bloomberg Radio Plus. And he said, look, this is going to unwind ugly. Now, here we have a super dove starting to talk about the unwind. Where are you on this?
Well, we put that as a significant risk to the economy. If you look at just the release of the minutes from the last meeting and its impact on markets, the discussion of whether the Fed will stop buying mortgage backs, they have a whole bunch of options before they even talk about changing the Fed funds target. They could slow purchases. They could stop purchases. They could amortize the portfolio. They could sell out of the portfolio. Every one of those decisions will lead to some sort of market reaction because they're so significant in the market today.
How quickly can they get out without disrupting the markets?
I think it's got to be gradual. But you're already seeing just the whiff of strengthening in housing lead to a rise in long rates because the market believes they're going to have to start to move.
Is there a private sector in this market, or how quickly could one come back if there's not?
Well, not really. If you look at, for example, the GSEs, we're under conservatorship, right? And the Fed is the single biggest buyer of mortgage backs. So that's, that's not a private market activity. So it will take some time to transition. One of the reasons we've made our theme for 2013 transition to normal with a question mark is we don't see this as an overnight kind of thing. We don't see housing.
Yeah, but
example,
the market vigilantes, which maybe Doug Duncan's not worried about, but the principals of our GSEs are worried about, Mario Draghi's worried about them, the markets will react instantaneously.
I think so. The Fed's challenge is to give guidance in such a way as to try to moderate the pace of that. That's going to be their challenge. Can they be successful at that? Boy, it's never been tried before. I think it's going to be very difficult for them.
What are we going to pay for mortgages when they start doing that?
Well, in a non-inflationary environment, probably 5 to 6% would be something. You think about what real interest rates are underneath that, maybe 3%. If you add 2%, 2.5% of headline inflation, you get to 5.5-6%.
So we're looking maybe another 2% higher. So by now.
Absolutely. We're telling, especially people that are eligible for HARP, there's about 2 million households out there that are eligible by our estimate for HARP refinances, and they should be getting to the market, and the time is now.
But I go back to the size of the punch bowl, which affects Fannie Mae, it affects our housing economy. Mr. Evans is out looking at 2015. I'm going to say decisively that the physics of this system feeds on itself, and there's feedback loops. Where are we? 2013? We get to this summer. Mm-hmm. We go into the fall. And then we've got what? Another 18 months after the holidays a year from now to keep the punch bowl going? To me, that's not in my textbooks. That's surreal.
I don't disagree with
Mike,
that.
Mike, help me here.
I mean,
all this creative economics is fine for 6 months or 9 months, but we're really talking 3 or 4 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not going anywhere for a while.
Starting in about 2009, when people started asking the question, when will this be over? When will we get back to normal? Our response to that was this will be a 10-year event, starting with the HSBC write-down of household finance investment in December of 2006. If you take that forward 10 years, you get to 2015. My view on that has not changed. We don't see, for example, housing being back to normal till the end of 2015. And there I'm measuring it by construction's contribution to GDP. So Doug, we have a ways to go.
Doug Duncan, thank you. Never enough time. Doug Duncan, he's with Fannie Mae.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.